On this morning, there was nothing but silence. So Sid and then Mary Ann went into the room. Upon entering, Sid witnessed his mother's corpse, swathed in a summer nightie and propped up in bed, a hand extended and held in a claw. "He ran out of there like the roadrunner, with that speed," recalls his sister Mary Ann. Less than a year earlier, Shirley, 35, had gone on national television and blown the whistle on corrupt police in Queensland and New South Wales, whom she had been paying off for over a decade. A few short weeks before her death, she was to testify in a perjury trial against legendary Queensland detective and hard man Tony Murphy. The evening before her body was discovered, she had received a visitor who had passed her a small vial of drugs. Riffman was warned. "Commit suicide or say goodbye to your children." The visitor left after midnight. Sydney, the youngest of the Riffman kids, had been born at 6 months and 1 week in 1963, courtesy of a botched abortion attempt. Shirley had travelled to the New South Wales capital especially to secure the termination, but it all went horribly wrong. Miraculously, after several blood transfusions, the boy survived. He was named after the city of his birth. As Sydney was recuperating in hospital, Brisbane's own detective, Murphy, was gathering evidence to destroy the credibility of witnesses due to appear before the National Hotel Royal Commission into police misconduct. On this occasion, Murphy took the time to write a letter to Briffman, his long-standing informant, who was due to appear before the commission as its star witness. Over the years, the two had become close. Shirley, the former country girl from Atherton in far north Queensland, would send the detective's children Christmas cards with money inside. As baby Sid fought through his first few weeks of life, Murphy typed a letter on plain paper at his office in the Woolloongabba CIB. "Dear Marg," he wrote, using one of Shirley's many prostitute aliases, "your welcome letter to hand the other day. As always, I had no hesitation in accepting the information in it as being good mail." Before signing off, he added, "As I want to get this letter in the first mail, I'll close now, hoping the young Briffman boy is picking up fast and will soon be out of hospital. Detective Tony Murphy." Sydney Briffman was the quiet boy, the good and sweet child who nobody had a bad word to say about. But 9 years later, as quick as the roadrunner, Sydney's mother was dead. He wasn't to know that in just a few short years, the Briffman curse would strike again. Within a couple of years of Shirley's sudden death, Sonia Briffman met a young man, got married and fell pregnant. About a month after the birth of her son, Sonia was visiting her big sister, Mary Ann, who also had a young son and daughter. It was a special time for the Briffman sisters, sharing early motherhood. "It was early morning and we were sitting in the kitchen," recalls Mary Ann. "Sonia went to reach out to grab the Kellogg's cornflakes box and she dropped it. She doubled over in pain. I asked her if she was okay. She was in agony for 2 or 3 minutes, then it stopped. It was the same scenario the next morning. She couldn't stop crying. She was in agony." Thinking her sister may be suffering from complications following her recent birth, Mary Ann rushed her to hospital. "They said she was suffering from a gut obstruction, that a bit of scar tissue had lodged in the bowel and become infected. I went and saw her in hospital a few days later. I caught a glimpse of her and I had to step out of the ward to get my equilibrium. She was dying." Sonia Margaret Briffman developed peritonitis and died in extreme agony 10 days later. It was just 4 years after her mother's death. She was 18 years old. Sid, not yet a teenager, had already lost two of the women in his family. After finishing school, he was taken into the care of relatives in the city and started work at a fruit shop. He lifted crates night and day and seriously damaged his back.